The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com, I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today, the author of, well, another Joni Lacey book. Sorry's run, the author, of course, Joni Lacey. Joni, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm so happy to be here.
Man, this book, Sorry's Run, it's pretty much a standalone book, unlike maybe the other books that you've written so far.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the characters in Sorry's Run. I mean, Shelby Jean, probably my favorite, and of course she would be the protagonist in a sense.
Yes. Yeah, she would be the main character, and Shelby is a very successful model. She's a retired model, lives in New York, has a great lifestyle. But she's from Greenup County, Kentucky.
Greenup County, Kentucky? Where is that?
Well, it's right across from Portsmouth, Ohio. Surely you know where that is. Eastern Kentucky. And it's not, not a very built-up area. It's not Lexington and Louisville. It's a very small, and Shelby's life started there. And, of course, with her beautiful look, she got out of Greenup County and it became a very successful model. But her grandmother, who she adores, has asked her to come and, kind of be with her father. There's family ties are pulling at her. So she returns to Greenup County for what she thinks is going to be a temporary stay to kind of help with her father, who is ailing.
Now, her father, Wesley.
Yes.
All right, now, he's not doing too well, like you say. He has some issues, I guess.
Yeah, he's got mostly it's COPD, lung issues. He's not that old, but he appears to be, almost a crippled old man because all of this stuff, he doesn't take care of himself. Of course, he's a smoker and a drinker and a hard-nosed kind of feller and, very, very opposite of what his daughter is. And, of course, they do clash.
Well, he's a good old boy. Yeah, and I think he used to clash with his wife, too, when she was alive.
Yes.
I don't want to give too much of this away, but yes, I mean, Shelby's mother passes quite a while ago, I think, didn't she?
Yes, and she was also a beautiful woman, and there's much of Shelby that reminds Wesley of her mother, and that also, kind of adds and contributes to the clash that goes on there. There's much there. There's much emotion there that has to be worked out between father and daughter.
Well, in Kentucky, where Shelby went back home to see her grandmother for the most part, I don't know if she was really that excited about seeing her father, but Rolling Hills, it's the Rolling Hills of Kentucky, huh?
Oh, yeah. My family is from there, and I love it there. Although I do take liberty with the descriptions. I kind of, enhance it just a tad. But I thought it made a perfect setting for this novel because it sits right by the Ohio River. Greenup County is on one side, on the Kentucky side, and Portsmouth's on the Ohio side. You've got your Ohio River right there. So that's a central point of the novel is this river.
So Shelby Jean flies in, what, to Pittsburgh, perhaps? I mean, I can't imagine a big airport.
She comes into Ashland, Kentucky.
Ashland, Kentucky.
Actually, I'm not right about that, Mark. I'd have to edit myself on that one because I think I have her coming into Huntington, West Virginia. I had to research that because Ashland also has a regional airport, but most people would come in from and to Huntington, which isn't far.
Yeah, and they have it's a big enough city where they have those big airports or bigger airports,
yes.
I guess, in some of the cities. And what it might be, maybe a 45-minute to an hour drive, maybe.
Yeah. And Shelby's loaded, so she can rent herself a, transportation is not an issue.
So, with Shelby Jean coming from a real small town, it's a small town, it's rural where she's at, she is just biting at the bit to get out.
Yeah.
Did you take some of that from you, maybe wanting to get out of a small rural place? Your family is...
Probably, although I didn't actually grow up in Greenup County, but certainly I did grow up in a small town in Ohio. And yeah, I guess maybe some of that could be there. You know, the dreams of a young girl. And in this particular story, Shelby loses her mother when she's pretty young, and she's there with her father, who is not a happy man. You know, he takes all that unhappiness and puts it onto his poor daughter. And so they have a very hard relationship when she's growing up and in high school and that, because she's lost her mother. So all of that plays into, I've got to get out of here, you know, and literally she gets discovered and she does get a chance to go. And her grandmother's like, take the chance. I'll look after your father, you know. So her coming back, it's a thing that she can't refuse her grandmother, but it's very difficult to go back into that old farmhouse where her father is. And this is where the story kind of starts weaving and it's beginnings.
So why Kentucky? I think the last books that you had were more, they were farther south. They were maybe New Orleans.
Yeah, they were New Orleans. New Orleans and Mississippi. Oh yeah, that was all the voodoo stuff. That's where my heart lies too. This I wanted to do, Mark, because like I say, my family, I've got an uncle who still lives in Greenup County. He lives in the Clay Holler. It's romantic to me. There's a lot there that just kept churning in my mind. I wanted to set a story there in that setting because I know it so well. And I've had a lot of people who have read this book, and a lot of folks have told me they really particularly enjoyed this because they could see it, because they know this area, you know, they know the Ohio River and this stuff. So it kind of, that felt more familiar to them in this setting. But it was just something that I felt the need to do because of my own personal upbringing, and I get back to Greenup County quite often.
Well, you know, that was going to be the next question. A lot of authors might do research with the place that they're writing about, but you didn't have to do that much, or did you go there just to kind of...
No, I didn't have to do. I mean, certainly you pay attention. When you go, you pay attention. You know, you want to see that you're correct and that you've got things going right. And for me, I have a real hard time knowing which way the river runs. You know, whether it's north, south, east, or west. I can't get that right in my head. So I had to really work on that deal. But otherwise, like I say, I have really enhanced certain things, but I go there enough that I didn't have to do that, because I've taken that road, they call it the Country Music Highway on 23, that goes all the way down and goes right by the river, because so many of the country stars, you know, took that road to Nashville.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, the list is really cool. So I know that road and I know that area and all the way down. So it was easy.
Well, that'd be pretty cool. I didn't realize that there was, you know, that it's probably between Nashville, Cincinnati, mm-hmm. Huntington, West Virginia, Pittsburgh.
It just goes down on the Kentucky side and stays on that side all the way down through Topeka to Nashville. And of course, guys from like Dwight Yoakam from the Columbus area, you know, and Billy Cyrus, and just a bunch. And so they have a big plaque on US 23 that lets you know you're on the country music highway.
Wow. And of course, none better than you to know about music, since you are in Robin Lacey and DeZydeco.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some musical roots there.
Yeah. Well, and that's why when I first started writing, you know, I kind of went with that, because we're totally into New Orleans and we go there quite often. And it went right along with the music we play, because our music is from southern Louisiana, not actually from New Orleans, but it's very tied into the New Orleans culture. And the whole Louisiana culture is Zydeco. So back and forth over many, many years, and, of course, just captured my heart and my imagination. So the Hollister House trilogy is a result of that.
So with the Hollister House trilogy, or your brand-new book, Sorry's Run, do you look maybe at putting music as a layer over the story sometimes, or not?
Well, you know, actually, it's funny you say that, because the Hollister House, the trilogy, there is a song there that I wrote for that one. And, of course, it's not anything to do with Zydeco. It's more to do with the haunted house. So there is a song there. In fact, the sheet music is included in the book. It's called Loa's Melody, and it's kind of a thread throughout those books, because this melody is heard and played throughout the narrative of the book. And Sorry's Run does not have music with it, but it, the Hollister House does.
Well, Joni, you know, and you mentioned this earlier also about the voodoo that you use, the magic in your other books. How about this book here, Sari's Run? There's some healing in there, I guess.
Yes, yes, I've got a little bit of that. And this one is more of a mystery, and it's kind of interesting for me. It became such an interesting journey because, you know, I start out with my girl coming home and dealing with family matters, you know. But, of course, I don't want to give up too much stuff, but there's a lot of things that happened to her in this journey. But I went back and I put in an Irish, Scotch-Irish thread through this book. And there's another thread through this book. It is the Underground Railroad. And that is very tied to this character who is Serena. And it becomes Sari's Run. So I go back and forth. It's got some historical things. The whole book, if I might, I don't think I'm giving up too much to say this, but there's a run between a couple slaves that is going on throughout this story. And that actually is Sari's Run. And there are many things that happen to the characters in this book, and they all kind of culminate at the end. So it's something that is where the tie is the run. They're all on a journey, and then they all kind of are able to come through together. You know, it's kind of I love the way that kind of happened. But I have healers in this, and my grandfather was what you'd call a medicine man, I guess. And he was like he would go into the hills of Kentucky and get all the herbs and all the things that he could find. And he had a little shed, and he had everything in bottles and jars, and everything was organized. And he felt certain he could take care of any problem that you had just from the hills of Kentucky. And, you know, if you had high blood pressure, whatever. So he was a healer himself, you know, he considered himself that, and he was a fascinating old gentleman to me. And so I have healing going on in this book very much. So it just kind of came out that way. And of course, you know, one of my main characters is blind in this story.
So, really a believer in the magic of healing, I guess.
I think so. I think you can call it magic. We were talking earlier about vibration. Some folks and a whole lot of people believe that this world that we're living in is made up of nothing but vibration, which means it can be manipulated, and it can be if you're in tune and are able to connect with that. I think all things are possible. Now, most of us can't do that because we shut it out. I do think I believe that, Mark. I certainly write about it. I write about it in Hollister House, and I certainly write about it in Sari's Run. So a part of me does believe all these things are really possible if we could open ourselves up to that, which is the most difficult part. You know, it's a nice thought.
There you go. Sari's Run. Now, Joni's not going to be surprised at all that I pretty much believe in vibrations also. And I was kind of turned on to putting like quartz and rose quartz and amethyst and other stones into water, because from what I understand, the water or the stones will actually change the vibration of the water.
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course, there's a whole world of thought about that there's great truth in that. So don't you feel much better now, Mark, that you're drinking this water this way?
Well, I hope so.
Well, you just look fabulous, so I think it's doing very well.
I don't look nearly the 104 years that I am, I guess. Let's see, the Hollister House. Talk to me about that trilogy. Let's go back in time and talk about that three-book run, if you would.
Okay, well, Hollister House is dear to my heart because I spent a great deal of time on those three books and loved it very much. I enjoyed that. I guess I've come to learn that I'm what you call an organic writer. I have a certain notion about something, but then when I dig into it, it just goes all different directions. It goes totally different than what I had assumed. I started Hollister House thinking I'm going to write a kid's book, and I'm going to have a young boy who's got a terminal illness, and he gets cured by a ghost in a haunted house. That was my premise. Well, it became something totally different from that. But the kids, I like the book. I think it's fun because there's a kids' club. They're really the protagonists. They're the heroes in the whole book. And we do have a house, and we do have a haunting, and we have a banyan tree that is the real center of Hollister House. It's an enchanted banyan tree on the property, and it's a portal to many things. And that's where all the story comes from, is this banyan tree. And of course, it just goes on and on. And I had a real fun time with it because I didn't intend to do three books, but you know, I liked the characters so well, I hated to leave them. And so I just kept going with it.
Well, how about Sorry's Run? I mean, he has some great characters in here. Do you see this as just one book, or are you going to maybe continue some of those characters?
Well, that is a toughie, because I really felt like maybe I'd continue on. I really like the police chief in this book and that. But I have actually started something else. So I think I'm going to let Sorry's Run lie and just be its own story and go with something totally different, because that's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment. So I'm just kind of going with it.
Sorry's Run, of course, different. This is the fourth book that you have. Maybe you've done some other writings and stuff anyway along the way, just to cut your teeth on, you know, in that literary art. What are the challenges maybe from maybe that first book to this book? Did the thing get easier to write?
It did and it didn't. I was surprised by that. I've been told that the writing has gotten better because I'm just a novice and I just, you know, have done this as a hobby. I think there were the mechanics of the writing that became easier for me and the understanding of dialogue and this and that. But, it still is tough for me. I don't sit down, you know, these guys that are so prolific and they have a certain, you know, pattern to their books. My books haven't felt like that or haven't been like that. You know, I kind of really have to work them out, which I'll do if I'm driving somewhere, if I'm walking somewhere, I work out the whole next scene and all then, and, oftentimes they go many different directions. And so sections, it's a long answer to tell you, but sections of Sorry's Run came very easily and sections did not. And actually the whole Scotch-Irish thing came after I was way into the book and I went back and rewrote the beginning. And I did that with Hollister House as well. You know, things just kept coming to me and I thought, oh my God, this would make this, you know, this would give it a real neat layer, you know, and just took the story in a whole nother direction, you know, so I do that a lot.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, the Southern roots really do come from, the Irish, maybe mm-hmm. even the Scottish.
Well, and that's where my research, I did do research on that because I wanted to be sure I was correct. And sure enough, you know, Appalachia had a great history of that. And, that's real. And there's a lot of folklore there that I, you know, could pull from. A lot of folklore. So I have this woman, Serena. She's a Scotch. And the history of her story is very much in Sorry's Run. So we go back in time to when she first comes to America and then comes to Kentucky. And, you know, she brings her history with her. And that's very much a thread throughout the book. And then we go back into the modern times.
I think if I were writing a book, it would be just this person and just going on with the life kind of almost from the start to the beginning. When you can add different layers, when you're going different stories in a book, weaving, that's pretty impressive. Did you do that with the other books also?
I think I did. Yeah. They all went different places and and of course Hollister House definitely goes to a history. Because the history of that house and the banyan tree and how the banyan tree arrives there in Mississippi. And that is all very historical. In fact, the first page of Hollister House gives you a little rundown of how the banyan tree is going to arrive. And so I go back and I visit that in the books. And of course, then I go to New Orleans. The second one is a great deal of New Orleans. The characters go there because there's a link between New Orleans and this Mississippi house. There's a very strong link and that story has to be told. And then I come back mostly to Mississippi on the third one and wrap things up. But it goes back and forth and there's much history in that trilogy too.
Do you ever think that when you were in New Orleans that almost like Alfred Hitchcock, you might insert yourself in there? Maybe the protagonist goes to, maybe a band, a concert, and there you are with Robin Lacey and DeZydeco, and they're watching that. Never any thought for something like that.
Well, I don't think I did that. I don't think I had that. Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, wouldn't that be pretty cool?
That'd be pretty cool.
And then everybody's singing along with the song and everything.
Well, maybe I'll do that in this one. Maybe this next one that I just got started on, maybe that's where that'll go. Maybe you'll be my inspiration, Mark. I might get somewhere yet. You know?
Yeah, you never know. I'm not getting anywhere right now, I guess. Okay, well, Sorry's Run, of course, your brand new book out right now. You are working on another one. Can you say anything about that? Or
No, I don't want to say anything about that. It's too early.
Okay.
Too early in the thing. But I will say this. It's kind of ironic to me because when I began Sorry's Run, this book that I'm now starting, that was my intention, was going to be the theme of Sorry's Run, and it changed. So I'm going back to the idea that I had before Sorry's Run. And so that is very interesting to me, and it's just been kind of popped out. So I've been kind of stagnant, you know. But I am going to have a kid's book out, though. I've got a New Orleans publisher for that, and that's going to happen next year.
Illustrated?
It's going to be illustrated. I've got a wonderful woman, Debbie Kern, who is illustrating the book, and I got a guy in New Orleans, and because it's well, get this, the it's about a Bayou band, so of course it's got Zydeco in there. There's where my music is
there
coming,
you go.
And I'm going to write you know, do a song for it, and it's going to be a kid's picture book. But he was very interested in that. I thought he could market that in the New Orleans and the Louisiana area, and so that's coming out next year.
All right. Well, with Sorry's Run now. Of course, Shelby Jean, a beautiful girl, gets out of the small Kentucky rural area to New York. What was she like in school? Because she comes back and she's meeting some of her schoolmates, and she had no clue who these people were, in a sense.
Yeah,
it seems like she was, there was kind of a dichotomy there somehow.
Yeah, it's like there's not too much of the schoolmate. She sees people she kind of recognizes, but she was very young when she leaves Greenup County. And she was distancing herself from everything because she was very traumatized by her mother's passing. And so it's a thing where she recognizes folks, but she kind of kept to herself. And the one person who she really hooks up with, Russell, that's a guy she totally remembers, and they have a relationship. But in my mind, Shelby was so removed from her physical situation. None of that was important to her. And her life didn't begin, really, after her mother passed, you know, and her mother passes, I think she's 12. But her life doesn't really begin until she gets out.
Her friends in New York, how should I feel about them? I mean, they're loving of her, or do they maybe take advantage of her?
Her roommate is loving of her. They are very, very close and very important relationship, extremely important. And they have some other friends there that kind of come in and out of the story, but nobody is of a malicious nature there in New York. She's got a happy life there. You know, she really no longer models just from time to time, picks up jobs because she's getting older, but she's got a great life there with her roommate. They've got their place together, and they have their friends together. And so that's a real good place in her life, so that makes it all the more difficult for her to find herself going back to Kentucky to even deal with things on a temporary basis. And of course, it becomes something quite different.
Modeling, of course, you can watch television. They have these reality shows on models. To become a model, to do different things like Shelby Jean's doing, did you have to do any research along that line?
I did a little bit, yeah, I did, because of course, I don't spend a lot of time on them. What I have, the story that's there is these two roommates are almost identical in the way they came to be in New York, because they both were discovered for their looks. Then they're brought to the big city, and they were schooled there, and they were put into this whole organization. So they kind of grew up together in this crazy world of modeling. And I do some explanation of all that kind of thing. And I had to do a little bit of research, and had to research on New York itself, the coming into New York, the driving into New York, and things like this. And, you know, that was kind of fun for me because, you know, now you can go online and you can be in a cab and just drive into New York and see it on screen. You know what I'm saying? So you can see the landscape and say, oh, yeah, that's what that looks like, you know, without having to get in the plane and go. So that I had to make sure I was right about certain things. You know, that's kind of my methodology. I will write it, and then I go and check myself to make sure that I have got it right. Fiction, you can make up everything, right? It's all can be made up. But there has to be some validation. There has to be some logic to it in order for it to really work. you can, you know, you can create anything in fiction because it's not true, but you have to have some basis for things that the reader can really relate to know that, you know, that you're not out there in left field completely. So you kind of learn that.
Well, you know, let's take them back to right field here and let them go to your website. I'm sure you've got a website where they can find out more about Sorry's Run, past books, your music career, the whole works.
It's all on there, yeah. It's joanielacy.com, and I've got a strange spelling for my name. It's J-O-A-N-I-L-A-C-Y. And, yeah, I do have on there something about my life and my past and the band and its music and a link that you can get to Robin Lacey and Desideco, which is also a website. And I have some poetry posted, and from time to time I do short stories. I've got several short stories that I like to put on there, you know, sometimes, and pictures and that kind of thing.
All right, so, you know, if somebody's interested in Robin Lacey and Desideco and they happen to go to one of your concerts to see you, I know for a fact that you guys throw beads out to the audience. What do I have to do to get some beads?
Well, now, see, you should have prepared me. I could have loaded you up. This is Mardi Gras season. You are talking about 'tis the season. I could have hooked you up.
It's almost like Christmas in, what is this, February?
Yeah. I mean, we even do this in Ohio, you know. It's like we have a wonderful time with Mardi Gras in Ohio. Anything to break up the winter, you know.
There you go.
I know.
I think just hold your hand up and say, hey, love you, and you'll throw them some beads.
Well, I'll tell you what. I owe you some beads. I will make good on that.
All right. Well, the book is Sorry's Run. It's a brand new book by Joni Lacey. I tell you what, I just fell in love with the protagonist in here, Shelby Jean. What a beautiful lady. And also her grandmother, which they are both, they're both healers. I don't want to give too much away, but both healers. I'm into that myself, and I just love the book. Sorry's Run. Joni, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it more than you know. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.